And study this morning in terms of Romans 13, we're going to take a look at the next seven verses. And they are going to be a fun topic for us to be able to digest together, Brother Justin, that the Word of God will become clear and we will have a good understanding. Let's go ahead and read, and then we'll open our time in a word of prayer. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who oppose will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not for fear, for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do this, or if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger, brings wrath upon the one who practices evil. Wherefore, it is necessary to be in subjection, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." May God bless the reading of this word this morning. Let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. God, we want to be thanking you that you are the uncaused cause of the universe. We thank you that there is nothing that has made you. There is nothing that has existed outside of you. We thank you that you are holy and righteous, all wise. You're everywhere. You know everything. And of course, you are all powerful, only inhibited from doing things that are contrary to your will of sinful. Thank you that we can come to you and get our orientation reestablished to help us to navigate these days, these worlds that we're in. Pray that these verses that Paul penned these thoughts about will be an encouragement to us. We just commit this time to you, asking that you would help me be able to share the things that came to my attention, and they may be a blessing to all that are gathered here today. We pray these things now in the name of our gracious Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but Ruth and I experienced it twice. It was in the Philippines. Both times it was unsuccessful, but it went ahead and threw the Philippines into utter chaos. And that was when we would wake up to the news to find that a coup d'etat was underway or down in Manila, where we were. There is nothing more devastating to a country than to suddenly find that the recognized, established governing body is being challenged by often the military who want to usurp their authority and replace it with their own. What we're going to be looking at today is a little bit about this whole topic of what Paul has written as the government authority, or as the King James says, higher powers that are in the world today and impacts us and what our attitude needs to be to all that is going on out there. I'd like to go ahead and share the basic outline that I'll be looking at today. I'd like to spend just a couple of minutes looking at context, you know, that we always like to try to build in the context so that we're not looking at the verses in a vacuum. We're going to look at at three groups or realms. We're going to look at presumption, we're going to look at an application, and then we're going to make an application additionally to the gospel of Jesus Christ at the end. But the first thing would be to establish a little bit of context. If you've got your Bibles open, then you can go to Romans chapter 12. And if you have Romans, a couple of weeks ago, or visiting speakers and that, I've been with you, but to notice that the beginning of chapter 12 is very important and will play into what we're going to be considering today. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, the mercies of God, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. What we're going to be looking at is an insight into a portion of what God's will is. And over these believers, the body of Jesus Christ, have the mandate here to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And Paul then goes on to explain that in a little more detail. Verses 3 through 8, you would have taken a look at, and unfortunately, Ruth and I were away, but the passage had to do with the equipping the body of Jesus Christ to be able to bring about some of these things. And then in verse 9 through verse 21, where Rigo covered this passage, it gives us a practical list of things that we need to be doing as believers in Jesus Christ as our minds are renewed, not conformed to the world. Verse 9 says, let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. That is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another. Verse 11, not lagging behind in diligence. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Verse 13, contributing to the needs of the saints. 14, bless those who persecute you. 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. 16, have the same mind to one another, haughty and high-minded. 17, never pay back evil for evil. 19, never take your own revenge. Leave it with God. Verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then continue, let every person in subjection be in subjection to governing authorities. You see, I think verse 13, or chapter 13, where the break occurs kind of is a man-made break. But I think Paul is continuing his discourse, his list of things that we need to be about. This in mind, we're going to be reflecting on the instructions that Paul's going to give us in these verses, being reflective again of what it is for us to transform our minds, what it is to work as a body of Jesus Christ with our various gifts, moving toward being a glory to him. And in this particular case, we're going to look specifically at the topic of being subjected to governing authorities. Context, and we move on to three groups or realms. We identify the three realms or groups, and then we can go ahead and look at them in a tiny bit more detail. The first one I would submit to you in these verses stands out just blazingly bright. That is God, who is the center of this whole passage. Look at verse 1. It sits there and it says, no authority except from God. The end of verse 1, established by God. Verse 2, ordinance of God. We go down to verse 4, in the middle there, it's the servant of God. We can continue on and find that there are references to him. Verse 6, in the middle. The rulers are servants of God. He is, we're going to find out, the most important character in this group that we're going to be looking at of three. I would say that there is a fourth one, which would be the angelic beings. That's a study for another time. We're looking at is God. and humanity. The second group would be man, or men, or women with authority. We have that in verse 1. Governing authorities, or as the King James says, higher powers. Look a little farther, it says, there is no authority. These are human beings with power. Verse 2, resisting authority. Verse 3, for rulers. Again in verse 3, the fear of authority. Verse 4, servants of God. And again in verse 4, servants of God. In verse 6, you see rulers are servants. And so it's a reference to those that have power and authority standing to them. We're going to delve into that just a tiny bit. The third group I will submit to you are men or women with less authority or no authority. And they are just smattered throughout here. The idea is that we have levels of subjection within government and operating of society, and God's going to give us some very clear instructions here. So the three groups, three rooms that I'd like us to consider briefly will be God, men and women with authority, men and women with less or no authority. Let's take a look for just a second at God. His name is only mentioned in this passage, but we can go to the vast expanse of scriptures to get a better picture. As we think of God, we often hear me say that he's the uncaused cause of the universe. That's very important for us to understand. Nobody created God. Nobody was before God. He is the only uncaused cause in the universe. He does what nobody did to him. And that's a concept that we have to have as we look at this. We also know that as we look at the text of Scripture that he is everywhere. He knows everything, and he is all-powerful. It is this same God that we are referring to here that was the earth father and the architect of this great salvation that we are experiencing. It is through Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we are finding out that God, in the context of government, and we'll find that here in just a moment a little bit, in the context of government, he is above all. He is above all governance. There's nobody that he looks up to and asks, is it okay? The book stumps with God. So keep that in mind as we're taking a look at these verses. It is so important. And I mean, again, as we're going to make a contrast here, also to reflect that he is absolutely holy. He is absolutely righteous. He is perfect in any question of ethics or morality. And he knows exactly what is right and what is wrong. That is who we have at the very top of this whole topic today. Well, in the second group, remember we had three, God, men and women with authority, men with less or no authority, second group, men with authority. We find that in this passage that Paul is giving us here that they can be identified by three little categories that are in the passage. First one gives us our first one, and it expands it just a little bit. It says, higher powers, or as the New American Standard says, the authorities. And so you're going to see this name for these individuals show up several times in the passage. Verse 1 has it twice. The authorities are there. Verse 2 has authority there. But then when you get to verse 3, you have Paul switch words a little bit, and he talks about them as ruler. And the ruler is just like we would expect. It's going to be a king, it's going to be a president, it's going to be a prime minister. It's somebody who is governing people. But then in verse 4, it's fascinating, and we'll look at this in just a minute. But Paul then switches a word again, and look at verse 4. It says, "For it is," and that "it is" refers back to the authority. So let's submit that in there. "For authority is a servant of God." That's a very important concept for us to grasp this morning, that those in authority are servants of God. And again, the rest of the passage occasionally refers to them as servants and as rulers. So these men are given these three names: governing authorities or higher powers, rulers or servants. Moving on a little bit, we find out that they have some specific purposes in God's plan. These ones that are governing authorities, servants, or rulers, are of those three. Take a look there. Here's one of the purposes that they are for. It says, "For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil." Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will praise or have praise from the same. So one of the purposes of these higher powers or rulers or servants is to cause fear for evil doing. So if you want to be evil, then be afraid somebody might come knocking on the door and deal with you. Verse 4 gives us another perspective there. It is, verse 4 says, "And the Lord is a servant of God to give for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a servant of God to give for good, brings wrath on the one who practices evil." I think I put the verse down here, but the end of verse 3 is positive. It says, "Do what is good and you will have great same." So these powers that are being here are responsible in God's program to bring fear for those that are evil, but to bring praise for what is good. Verse 4 also talks about the fact that they are an avenger. So they seek out those that are evil and they avenge God in bringing about evil those that are hurting God. And the last one, I just love this, in verse 6, it says, "And because of this, you also pay taxes." Okay. Everybody's chuckling. It's because of authority that you pay taxes. And it comes in all shapes and sizes, depending on where you are in the world. It gets bigger, in some places it gets smaller. But why is this the case? The rest of verse 6 tells us, it says, "For rulers," these ones with higher authority, "they are servants of God, because they are devoting themselves to this very thing." The rulers are devoting themselves to the collection of taxes. And it's interesting, we can just cover verse 7 as it's right there. It says, "Pay to all what is due them, tax to whom taxes due, custom to whom custom, respect to whom respect, honor to whom honor." Brothers and sisters, it is part of the structure that God has put in place. Pay your taxes. And of course, you have all kinds of schemes to get away from paying taxes that the authorities have been approved by government to spend their time doing. Then you get caught. What does the government in power do? They might go to prison. So pay taxes to them, taxes are due, the custom of respect from whom to whom respect is due. Auto Group, now that we've dealt with those in authority, we'll define those in authority in just a second, but are the men and women with less authority or new authority? I would say that perhaps the one that The least authority would be the individual that is on the street. There's nobody that they're responsible for below them, totally dependent on those that are around them. They struggle. There are other examples that we could think of, but it doesn't take very long to find out that we all have certain degrees of authority. So these are the ones that don't have authority, but they do have authority above them. Now, real quick, Paul is explaining here, let's go back to verse 1. And it says, every person is to be subject to the governing authorities. Every person, every human being is to be subject to the governing authorities. It means that the very lowliest needs to be subjected to the governing authorities above them. It means mayors, governors, judges, presidents, prime ministers, kings, dictators. They all have authority in the government system, and they're all responsible for being subject to the authority above them. With that in concept, we realize that it doesn't matter if there is a governor of a country, they may think that they're the greatest. They need to be subject to Almighty God and their exercise of their authorities. Another little aside that we need to take, and this might grate on some people's nerves, but look what God says in verse 1 about these higher authorities. It says, for there is no authority except from further, it says, and those which exist are established by God. Verse 2, therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed ordinance of God. I used to get all upset and flummoxed with politics at this particular point. I don't anymore. I don't dive into it and worry who the players are. When I look at what is God doing with the nations under the authority that is in power. You see, nobody gets into office except the authority of God. We don't like that. We have to pull on the because it makes a difference. We would say that we have a responsibility to go and voice or stand for a particular candidate. But you know, when it all comes down, it's all said and done. Whoever gets into the office is going to get there because it has been allowed in place by God. We don't like that. We don't like to think that we're independent of God. Who wants to be dependent on Him? And yet, doesn't He know the best for our countries? Doesn't He know the best for our cities? It would be horrifying to think that He would go ahead and turn His back on things that are so structural for us. And so I take great solace in that, that I don't have to throw my responsibility away, but because I believe in Jesus Christ and as a follower of the Word of God and the teaching of Paul the Apostle, I can rest assured no authority is there except from God, that He establishes it. He establishes it. Second thing that is fascinating with the power is they are forced into subjection. Bibi Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, he's responsible to God. Prime Minister up in Canada, he thinks he's greater than the top dog. He's responsible to God. In our country, President Trump, he is a servant of God. All throughout the country, take a look at our mayor. burden of God. You. If you are in a work environment, you have people underneath you. Guess what? You are a servant of God in that role. Keep that perspective in mind, because it takes a lot of anxiety on living in our days today. One of the problems is, the third point that I want to bring up, is a presumption. The way that Paul wrote this, in this little section here, assumes that all these higher powers are going to be righteous. All over the world. You think, who is a servant of God? Do you think Putin is righteous? We presume that they are holy. How many of our leaders in the world, whether at the mayor, the Senate, Congress, judges, how many of them are holy because they believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? We think that we presume from the way Paul is writing here that all of these authorities are going to act ethically. How are you doing as a higher authority in the lives of some others that are under you? Are you holy, righteous, ethical? That's a good question. Problem is, the reality is that our higher authorities are filled with men and women who are fallen, sinful, and unrighteous. And sometimes they can act righteously. Sometimes we sit there and go, yes, they did it. But sometimes, oh my goodness, they can be wicked. Sometimes they go ahead and be evildoers. We sit there and they go, why did they do this? Sometimes these fallen miracles reward evildoers and or workers. Sometimes these higher authorities persecute the righteous, the good. We see that in history where rulers were involved in persecuting those doing right. The fact is, there is only one government with a higher power that is going to be perfect. And I think you can figure it out. This is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. When he returns, second coming, his feet touch down on Mount Olivet, he will ascend up to Jerusalem, he will sit on the throne of David, and as Daniel told us in Daniel chapter 2, he is the rock cut out without man's hands that grows and fills the whole earth. His government will be no end, and it is going to be holy and righteous and ethical and right, and it will directly punish those that do evil, and it will be a praise to those that do right. Until then, I'm sorry, don't mean to disappoint you. We live in a world of miracles, including ourselves, that can be fleshly, ungodly, unrighteous, downright sinful, downright wicked. Jesus Christ comes. Is going to be the absolute perfection of what Paul is talking about here. So to wrap this section up a little bit, I just want to take a couple of applications. First application is that every governing authority exists because God has established it. Every single governing authority, including you work for somebody else. You are responsible to God who established those governing authorities. An example would be, we were picking you because of Daniel 4, verse 17, and 34 and 37. This is Daniel with describing Nebuchadnezzar as the tree that had cut down. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn the hard lesson. I'll just paraphrase it. He had to come to the place for he realized it has nothing to do with me that I am king of Babylon. It is entirely God who puts the kings on their thrones. So we have to realize and recognize that every government in the world is established because God purposes it that way. The second thing is that every government authority is a servant to God. And it's God accomplishing his purposes. The third thing is God brings blessing and judgment upon nations, and cities, and states. He often does this through his governing authorities. His blessings and his judgments can come from two sources. It can come from the higher powers, or it can come from the higher powers needing the nations to come in and do their business on you. Ultimately, God is going to accomplish his purposes. I refer you to Jeremiah 18:1-11, which is the picture, the story of the potter that it was damaged. God has an attitude, I'm going to bring chaos on this nation because it's wicked. And yet if they turn back from their ways, I will repent of the chaos and bring blessing. I believe he does that through higher authorities working with mankind. Fourth thing is we are to be obedient, or we're supposed to be subject to the authorities that are above us. We find out that we can be in deep trouble with Almighty God in verse 2, because if we resist authority, what we are in fact doing is we're opposing an ordinance of God, because he put those powers in those places. And the fifth thing, to be obedient or subject to God, our ultimate authority is the important thing. So there's a little litmus test that I think about when wrestling with this. What do you do if the higher authority is passing on something you don't agree with? Open up God's Word. Open up God's Word. And if whatever you want to see done is not done within the text of Scripture, then just why you listen to me? Here's the beautiful thing. If they do something or they propose something that is contrary to the Word of God, guess what? You have God as your higher authority. And in those instances, I would say, you obey God. Classic example is in Acts chapter 4. Peter and John healed the lame man. They got hauled before the religious leaders. And they were telling about the Lord Jesus. And the religious leader said, you need to stop talking about this Jesus and having these people believe on the Temple Mount. What's their answer? It is better to obey God than men. Be careful as you analyze what your response is going to be, whether you're going to appeal to the rule and ethics of Almighty God. You are going to receive likely persecution for that decision. Your power leads the nation, whether it's good or bad, it is not contrary to God's word. Bring your life into subjection to it. And then pray. Pray. Because God is the one that put the leader there. Perhaps he will be the one to hear your prayer and move one away. I'd like to just finish with one last little thought for us this morning. Here we have a chain of command. We find ourselves voluntarily facing, I am a higher power because these employees need me. Perhaps we could take it to, I am the head of my home, and my wife and children are responsible for the decisions that I make. But then we also look up and we have authority of us. So we've got this chain of authority. But you know, there's one thing in life that doesn't have a chain of authority except one. It's directly to God. So the thing that is directly related between us and God has to do with our salvation. You don't have to go through somebody else to find your salvation in Jesus Christ. It just simply takes the realization that we are all sinners. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We read in God's Word, but wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We recognize that if we're a sinner, we are destined for the lake of fire. God committed his love toward us, and not when we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He paid for our sins. God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved Son, and whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And recognize that you're a sinner, destined for the lake of fire. The fact that God has made a way for you to be brought back into a correct relationship with him, and you believe in your heart, he counts it for righteousness. Now you have restoration. You don't have anybody in between. You don't have to refer to a priest. You don't have to be associated with a church. You could be in the bathroom in a restaurant. It comes with the realization that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you can ask him into your life. This is the simplicity. Don't have anybody else there. When it comes to the government, complexity. When it comes to salvation, simplicity. It is just between you and Almighty God. Our God and Father, we thank you this morning for again Paul's instruction. We thank you so much for these concepts, that there is no power that exists except that you have put it in place. We need to learn to trust that you have this under control. We pray that you would give us wisdom as we look at the instructions and lead some higher powers, whether they are combined with your word or not. We pray that we would be able to work with you to the outworking in our lives. And Father, again this morning, we just pray that if there's anyone here that has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that they have a direct connection to you, and that it is simply between they and God. And we put these things up there in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.